Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. Hey, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I am, you know, without any of my cohorts right now. It's just me sitting in a room, and we are here with a kind of a special episode of Abound in Hope. Some of you know, on Wednesday nights throughout this year, we started a discipleship opportunity called Practicum, and this is a group-based, basically a conversational way of delving into topics that the church needs to think about. But maybe Sunday morning isn't the right opportunity to do so. So we've covered things like justice and race. We've covered things like finding your unique design. We've covered things like caring for families in crisis. And one of the latest that we did was creation care. And to that end, I have two very special guests with me today. Very special guests. Who are you?
I'm Christy Halsey.
And I'm Sarah Wells.
Christy and Sarah led this class. They kind of led this initiative. And you guys have both been at Imprint for quite some time, have you not? Christy, you've been here, I guess...
Since 2015, we came over with Tom Regan.
That's right. And yeah. Sarah, how long have you guys been around, you and your kiddos?
About 5 years. Is that when Bothell first
I think
launched?
So. Something like that. Yeah. Something around that. So were you at Imprint Bothell or Imprint Woodinville when you guys first got here?
My first Sunday was the Sunday before the launch.
Sunday before the launch. That's exciting. I got here like a couple months after the launch, so I missed all that excitement. But yeah, that's the way it worked. Well, let's get going on this. What we wanted to do is for people who couldn't carve out Wednesday nights or who were curious about the topic but just didn't really have time to commit or whatever. We wanted to spend some time sort of creating some FOMO and getting them thinking about some of the stuff you guys talked about in creation care. Full disclosure, I signed up for creation care, but due to some unforeseen circumstances, me and my wife could not attend. So I guess I'll start with something really broad, and you guys can take this as you want, or even answer this individually. Why teach a class on creation care, or what is creation care, and why do you think that we needed to teach a class on it or think about it?
So, yes, that's very broad, but a good place to start. I think that, first of all, our environment, creation, is facing some crises that it has never faced before, and so we are at kind of a heightened maybe level of needing to talk about it on one hand. I think on the other hand, at least in our culture, it's been kind of relegated to a social and political conversation.
Yeah. Because it's something that is talked about, but it's not something that's often talked about in the context of the church.
Yes, exactly. And so
maybe not like the evangelical church, maybe in more mainline
right.
stuff,
yep.
but that typically is kind of associated with a certain line of political ideology
yes.
or
yep.
that kind of thing. So why kind of pry into that in the context of Imprint?
My background is very conservative and very much the idea that creation was given to mankind
mm-hmm.
and given all of the issues that are surrounding creation and facing God's people, it has grown as a concern in my heart as far as why Christians aren't more protective of this
yeah.
gift and how we're using the gift yeah. and what God's design was for the gift and how it's affecting other people made in God's image.
Gotcha. What got you to interested in this? Because again, you know, it's not something that's necessarily talked about in most evangelical churches. So what kind of caught your attention when it came to this is being something that we needed to talk about as a church?
I think for me, it's really grown from my own experience in creation, becoming a mom, homeschooling. Seeing my kids, the wonder, the awe that they had, the curiosity they had, definitely wore off on me. And
your kids like live outside, basically, yeah. which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So. And that even that time outside, I mean, I could tell very early on that sending them outside was very different than me going outside with them. And so I went out a lot, and we spent a lot of time out there, and we just seemed to be our happiest time. And I think that coincided with me being able to see the wonder of God's creation. I mean, just one example is like one time in school, we were studying flowers, so we dissected a wildflower, and I was just in awe of how beautifully designed this little tiny thing that I've walked by a million times. And so that kind of, you know, all the way from that to like we've studied waterways and studying how watersheds work and seeing these, you know, mighty like things that carve mountains. So you see this wide variety of God's design. And that started to work in me this new, or maybe it was stifled, awe and wonder in the Creator. And I saw how that kind of also was working in some of the different faith struggles I was having and have had over the years, and seeing how that really impacted my relationship with the Lord and my ability to accept dissonance and the fact that He is almighty, unknowable and in many ways, God, unknowable in the sense of, you know, knowing fully and figuring Him out.
He's not a puzzle to solve.
Right. Yeah. And so that kind of then just led me to think, okay, are we in 21st century modern America, are we as Americans that are very buffered from nature, you know, in a new way that humanity never really has been before, are we missing something, especially as Christians, about knowing our Creator? And I think that led me kind of to answer, yes, I think we are. And so that has been spinning in my head for many years. And then, yeah, the opportunity came along and here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Sarah, I'll kind of same question over to you. What got you thinking about this, and what got you passionate? Were there any like events or like practices that kind of started you down this path that when the time came that this, an option for a class like this came up, that you were excited about it? What kind of, can you trace that story back to, I know you said you grew up in a very like conservative ideology. So where did this come from, I guess?
I think it first started when I was a teenager. I lived in Germany for 6 months.
Oh, cool.
And it was really cool. And I got to travel around. So being exposed to a different society and how people live differently and how they were forced to conserve water and just their lifestyle difference, it was so different than America. So that was the first experience. And then I think in my 20s and early 30s, traveling to different places around the world and just seeing resources, air quality, and just having a firsthand exposure to how different the American lifestyle is, really started planting those seeds and just raised my awareness of how life is so unique here and how other people are forced to look at the environment differently just out of necessity and how we have so much, it's so abundant here. And then I think having children, and I grew up in Kirkland. So raising my family and purposely staying in Seattle because I wanted them to have the same experience and opportunities to be out in nature that I had growing up.
Yeah.
And seeing the changes in this area over the last 30 years has really been grievous to me.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been able to share with my kids the same experience that I've had when I was growing up. And so all of those have made me wonder, what is it? Is this really what God had in mind? Building more buildings, pouring more cement. Is this really what God intended when He gave us creation and gave us the task of subduing it and stewarding it?
Yeah, that's got to be interesting. Again, growing up in the same place, because I think that's one thing, and I don't want to hijack, but I think that is something that is missing in a lot of 21st century, at least I guess American culture, is a sense of place. Because it is, you know, part of the American spirit has always been sort of a choose your own adventure, blaze your own path. Very mobile society, even going back 100 years, a very much more mobile society than you know, continental Europe was for hundreds and thousands of years, or especially mm-hmm. in ancient cultures. It was, you know, you were born in a place and you stayed there. Here you're able to move, so maybe you're able to miss some of the changes that you're talking about there. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting to think about. Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking about creation, and you're thinking about teaching something about stewarding creation, which is a biblical concept, how did you guys decide to break the course down in a way that would, obviously you can't cover everything, because it was a 4-week class, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't cover everything in 4 weeks. How did you guys decide to break the class up in such a way that people would come away having learned something, but more than that, maybe that their curiosity would be sparked?
I think from the beginning, partially due to only having 4 weeks,
yeah.
we were really, really wanting to make sure that this was not an issue-based conversation.
Hmm. What do you mean by issue-based?
So we're not sitting there talking about climate change,
yeah.
or there's a million issues. We could totally, soil degradation, totally, yeah. or, you know, we're not talking about those in the class mainly. We wanted it to be, what is our scriptural foundation for why we should care for creation? Hmm. Can we look at scripture? Because I think that's part of the problem, is why it has not been a Christian conversation, is because many people think that there's, myself included until fairly recently, there's just not a lot said about creation in the Bible and how we should care for it. And so, I think that was our big kind of rudder the whole time, was keeping it very focused on scripture and what God's heart as revealed in scripture is for creation. We did bring in some issues, like we had some videos in the beginning and end that would highlight an issue, because this is a very practical issue.
Yeah, totally.
And so for our practical lives currently, so we wanted to make sure that was tied in, but the bulk of the class was very scripture based, and so we just kind of started in the beginning. And I don't know. Do you want to talk about how we kind of figured out our topics?
Yeah, I think we started. It was definitely a process, because there is so much to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't want it to be purely theoretical.
Right.
Because if it's purely theoretical, mm-hmm. then nothing happens. But you also don't want it to be purely issue based, because if that happens, then you know, then you end up, I don't know, that you end up becoming the expert, and it's mm-hmm. hard to give any people room for any conversation about it. And, mm-hmm. and again, you want scripture to be preeminent there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can understand it taking a while to figure out what was up. So how did you guys end up there though? Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I think, like Chrissy was saying, just going back to the basics, like, what did God tell us in the beginning, and what did that look like, and what was his intention for creation, and what was the purpose in our task of subduing the earth, and what is his overall goal? So what does creation look like at the end of this life, and then all of that stuff in between, like, what is he, you know, when we boil it down, what are the most clear commands that we're given? Mm-hmm. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So how does that play in to his purpose in the beginning and his intention for the end?
I think one of the big, I don't want to say myths, that might be too strong of a word, but something we feel the need as Christians is to choose between the environment and people. Hmm. And if we focus on the environment, we focus on creation, we are saying no to people's salvation and people's care. And I think that one of the things that we wanted to bring into this conversation and to the topics was the fact that creation care and the care of people and the love of people really is very intertwined. We can't see it as much in our current, you know, we're very buffered from the environmental effects, but many people around the world are not. And so that was one of the, yeah, those in-between topics between the, we kind of looked at the arc of the redemptive story. How does creation fit into this?
Yeah, I think that's a common question. I mean, in general, that is, I would say, a false dichotomy of like, mm-hmm. you've got to pick one or the other. I think it's an interesting thing to delve into, and we don't have to go all the way there right now. But I think there is something about, you know, what you believe about the end of things that's mm-hmm. going to affect how you act right now. Mm-hmm. So did you guys spend any time talking about that? Like what, mm-hmm. what the Bible says about, I know you said about like the end. What can you give me like a minute or so pitch of what you guys pointed to the Bible saying about creation and what God says about creation? Just really
yeah.
quick.
Do you want us to go through like a minute of each topic?
Sure, that's okay. just fine. Yeah.
I mean, just okay. So we started with the question, what is the purpose of creation? And started in the beginning with God's creation of creation.
I find a new word.
I know. and looking for what is the purpose? Why did he create the world? And we pointed to, you know, spent some time in Genesis 1 to see, and then kind of drew some analogies between creation and the temple, and saw that in scripture, that those analogies are very clear, and maybe not to people like us, but to an ancient Hebrew person, like that would have been a clear analogy for them. So the main idea there was that creation is a kind of a cosmic temple.
Yeah.
It was created to be the sacred space where God would dwell with his people. And that was the original intent. And then we also looked at Psalm 104 and Job 38 through 42. I mean, we didn't read that whole thing, but
yeah.
pieces of it.
Pieces of it, yeah.
To see that it was also created to be a revelation of God's glory. Hmm. It's this visible demonstration of his glory from the wildflower, from a pig, from a mountain, like all of these pieces of the beautiful world that we live in were created with this unique small g glory mm-hmm. to be a visible demonstration of God's big G glory. And so in that, we have this kind of need to care for it, to preserve this place that God created to show his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And then Job, we looked at that to see another purpose of creation is to be instrumental in our lives as believers. God took Job on this kind of cosmic tour when he came to the end of all of Job, all the discussions with his friends and all of this. And he used creation in this tour.
Where were you?
Yeah.
Conversation.
To like put him in his creaturely place to awe him. He didn't answer his questions. He didn't, explain why it happened. He just showed him the magnitude of his glory, and it was like this balm to Job.
Yeah.
And I think in our own lives, it can definitely have the same
same effect. Yeah, there's nothing like some context. I love being outside. I love being on or near mountains just because I need to be reminded how small I am mm-hmm. occasionally. Mm-hmm. And I need to be reminded that, Psalm 8, it's the what is man that mm-hmm. you are mindful of him. And that becomes much more clear when you see things that are much bigger and more beautiful and lasting than you are. That's a powerful thing.
Yeah. So those were kind of all, we were pointing to all those three basic ideas of how, what the purpose of creation is.
Next week, we looked at our identity and purpose. So went back and looked at what does it mean to subdue, and really delved into the definition, the Hebrew definitions of the words, and pushed back on some of the traditional ideas of the earth is ours to do what we want, and we can, it's all going to burn anyway, so we can just
plunder.
Yes. Yeah. Take it and do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
So that was a really beautiful examination of those definitions to find that it's actually a protection, a cultivation, a keeping. And it those same words that are used in Genesis are similar words that are used to refer to God taking care of us.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Which is a really powerful image.
That is a powerful thing. Yeah. Yeah, because we're not plundered or exploited by God.
Right, but lovingly, compassionately cultivated and protected.
Yeah, and cared for and led along. That's really cool. There's a lot of order there. So, yeah.
And then our third week.
Oh, yes. So our sorry. Slightly distracted. Yes, our third week, we kind of went continuing to follow along the arc of the redemptive story and looked at the end of all things and what God says about the purpose of creation there and how that impacts our care for it in the present time. So we talked about the idea of annihilation of the earth versus the transformation of the earth, big theological debate, and how those two ideas could inform our concern of the earth right now. I think at least in my background, I was raised with the idea that the earth was going to burn.
Yeah, it's all going to burn anyway.
It's all going to burn.
That's pretty common. In my growing up years, I know you're not too much older than I am. So
So who cares about what we use it up right now? It was put here for our, so we could consume it, and it's all going to burn. So versus seeing this, I think scripture talks about the new creation a whole lot more than I was taught growing up. I think Imprint does a fabulous job of talking about that, I think. But seeing this place as our eternal home, but transformed and renewed and brought back to that original place, the sacred eternal place that God made to dwell with his people.
Yeah.
It gives you a different relationship with it, I guess.
Yeah.
We talked about the fact that even if you do think biblically that it is going to burn, that doesn't take away the necessity to steward it well, for many different reasons. But so we talked about kind of where can we land, even if we do disagree on this issue, where can we land to still unite on what God is very, very clear about in scripture. We talked about how if we do see, if we do see that this is our eternal home. We talked about the idea of what does it look like to kind of prefigure what God is going to do someday when Christ returns and he restores and renews all of creation. How can we kind of bring a taste of that to our world now?
Yeah.
For the glory of God, for the proclamation of the kingdom and the gospel. So even in this area, just like, Jesus sent the disciples to preach the gospel and to heal. As they were proclaiming the kingdom, they were also doing something that God was going to ultimately do when he returned, when Christ would ultimately do when he returned. And so, bring healing and restoration to his people. And so in a sense, we get the chance to do that with creation. We will never be able to fix all of the problems.
No.
Only Christ can do that. But we can proclaim the kingdom in small ways as we do the thing that he is going to ultimately do, restore, bring restoration and his design back to places that have been
marred.
Yeah. And so, and how that is kind of gospel work, which is kind of a new thought for a lot of people in the subject of caring for the environment.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it makes sense. And I do think that again, what you see as the end, how you see things playing out, will affect what you think there.
Mm-hmm.
And And there are a lot of views, but I think taking any of those views wrongly can very much affect the way you view your work post salvation in your life. And so I could see how that carries out. So that was week three.
It was week three.
It's kind of funny because you said week three was the end. Like, yeah, let's talk about the end of things.
That's we were going to do that week four. Oh, okay. And then we were like, wait, I think we should. So you'll see why.
Yeah. Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we actually, our last class covered, we just recognized the fact that you may not agree with that, the biblical reasoning that Christy laid out for a new creation.
Yeah.
And people may still be of the opinion that it is all going to burn. And we allowed room for that because you can make a case.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you could debate mm-hmm. it. But we wanted to end the class with, we are united on the fact that we are here to serve Jesus, and he is our Savior, and he has called us to love others and to share the gospel with others. Yeah. So even if we have different conclusions about the end times, we are still called to live in his creation, and he has still given us an identity and a purpose, and he has still given us these direct commands. And so what can that look like in our world, in our life, in regards to creation care? So we took those commands and I built a case for, given how interdependent we are with other countries and how so much of our what we use in our daily life comes from other countries, and the production of that, of those products, has very dire effects on people in other countries. And then on the flip side, our disposals, they go to other countries, and those have dire effects. So looking at expanding the definition of neighbor to a more global sense, mm-hmm. and really raising our awareness of these issues are important to be aware of.
Yeah.
And we wanted to encourage people to plant the seed just to start thinking about them. And that's why we highlighted with the video clips of some of the issues facing creation. Because as Christy and I have prepped for it, our awareness has grown tremendously, and kind of the domino effect of the bigger picture going on in our life.
Yeah.
It's been really astounding to us how we have such an effect on people that we will never meet.
Yeah.
And how we can love our global neighbor with the daily choices that we make, and how that can also affect how the gospel is shared.
Yeah.
Even if we, even if we are not physically in another country sharing the gospel, the choices that we make impact people's ability to interact, because their water quality, their air quality, their food security, their housing security, all of that is being affected by production of things or disposal of things that we use on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think that was a great idea, a great way to end, because if you end it there, then it leaves you with a theological question. And if you're like, well, if I disagree with that, then I think I'm off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you end it the way you guys did there with, well, hey, this is actually a love of neighbor issue,
mm-hmm.
Then that does make you stop and make you think. And you touched a little bit, but I do want to ask, I want to pry in a little more, like, you guys prepared a lot for this course. I know you did. And I know you learned a lot of facts along the way. How did you guys change as you were preparing for this? Mm-hmm. And what did teaching this course do for you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think first of all, my understanding of scripture was kind of, I don't know, it was widened very much in terms of what does scripture say about this topic. I didn't realize how interwoven creation was throughout the whole story of redemption. I didn't realize how much a part of scripture, or how much scripture reveals God's heart for creation, from his heart for animals to sustainability to, I mean, it's all in there. And so that was, I think, the biggest part that I was not really expecting, I think. And then, yeah, like what Sarah talked about, the more we looked into these things, the more overwhelmed I became with how many dire issues are facing the earth and the people and the animals and plants. It's very overwhelming to soak. We soaked in it for 6 months, you know. And it was hard at times. And part of me was looking forward to the class ending so that I could go from head to hands and start to really take some of this and be very practical with it in a new way. Hmm. So, yeah.
I think it affected me on a lot of different levels. So I think definitely an appreciation for God and his design, both in an ecological sense, mm-hmm. but also just a deeper awe of scripture and a real desire to keep studying. And just, I came away realizing how little I know and how much there is to know, and a desire to just keep studying, because they're the threads, the multiple threads that are woven all through scripture are incredible to me. So I think there's that spiritual aspect, but I think there's also the practical aspect that I'm still working on, and that's living countercultural in the sense of stepping outside of my suburban American life and mentality, and really pausing to think how, like, what is God's view of the world, and who are all of the people that he is watching over, and what are all of the things that he cares about? And I guess in a way, taking the blinders off of I'm racing from this activity to this activity, and being more conscientious of the greater impact that I have and less self-focused. I think being a mom of three and a homeschooling mom of three on top of that, and already fighting what culture tells me
is important I should and what be, you need to be doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and how I should be. I think I came away really inspired to be okay with some being a little more exceptional, and making choices that are going to look funny to people, but knowing that there is integrity and purpose in choosing not to, you know, to bring fruit to the soccer practice and not the individually wrapped plastic.
Yeah.
Snacks, even though that's what everybody does, or
that's what's convenient.
It's convenient, right?
Yeah, so much of our culture, I think, is based on convenience, and so much of our consumption of creation is based on convenience and comfort. And so, taking a step back to look at what is the heart issue behind all of this, and how can we as believers approach life differently? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also the reputation of Christians really struck me. Mm. I think I know the heart that I have. I know the hearts of people in my community. But seeing that is not the image or message that a lot of people have of Christians because of issues around creation was really eye-opening to me. And wondering how can we reclaim creation from activists and bring it back to who it truly belongs to.
Yeah, which is people who have like the most clear reason for actually caring. Actually, a question I was going to ask that leads in well. So many of the voices right now that are speaking about creation are from, I'd say, from a purely Christian worldview, are a little problematic when you start like getting into where they are coming from and their understanding of the world, their understanding of God, their understanding of creation. Even though it might be very scientifically accurate, they might want nothing to do with God, or they might have ideas that are that way. How do we listen with common grace. Can you guys speak just a little bit about common grace? Mm-hmm. And because I'm sure you guys had to listen to some voices as you're preparing for this mm-hmm. class that, you know, be like, well, they're saying stuff that's right on here, but mm-hmm. I know some of this other stuff that they're saying here is not great. Or mm-hmm. I know where that they're coming from a worldview that's foreign from mine. So how did you guys go through and experience listening to voices that that believe differently and finding good stuff there anyway?
Yeah, that was a big thing we wrestled with, and especially in bringing that content to the class.
Yeah.
I think that we started with the assumption, you know, or the idea that all truth is God's truth, mm-hmm. and that if we have this strong foundation in Scripture, we know what it says, we know what, you know, the tenets of our faith, we know what Scripture is clear about, we can interact with the world with an ability to wade through some of the content that we're hearing, be able to, yeah, take what is true, take what is in line with Scripture, and then be able to, I don't want to say like throw out the
rest. I
know
what you mean, but yeah, be able to discern and reject what needs rejecting and hold on to what is, like you said, true. And that sentence, all truth is God's truth, is an old one. It's not, that's not something that's been made up recently.
No.
The idea is like a broken clock is right twice a day, you know. It's not that's not meant to be an insult, but mm-hmm. like people are made in the image of God, and if as such can observe true things about the world and about creation, even if they are horribly mistaken or woefully mistaken, I should say, about who God is. So sorry.
And I think one of the things that I found, and I've even found working, like we work with a local farm that is not coming from a Christian background and or foundation. And it's amazing whether it's working with them or working with or just reading articles and books and stuff, you'll hear people using words like design you know, all of this. And it's like, you don't realize that.
Oh, you're so close.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, just a little more, buddy. Yeah, you got this.
But they don't realize that they are aligning, or someone maybe that's like trying to approach agriculture with, from a, you know, regenerative approach or whatever, they don't maybe know that they are aligning themselves with God's mm-hmm. design mm-hmm. and truth. And so being able to, to discern that and not shut out our influence in those places, or shut out their entire message just because it's coming from a place of, you know, not recognizing their creator or whatever.
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Sarah?
Just that I think it's all the more, it's just extra important that Christians reclaim this.
Yeah, yeah.
So that we can shine a light and we can offer our perspective and understanding, because the world is coming to their own conclusions and they have their own obstacles for keeping them from making that jump to understanding who God is, how we understand him. And if we can bridge that in this topic that we're united on, mm-hmm. If we can influence their hearts and draw them a little closer to God.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. And a way to fix the problem that there aren't that many Christians speaking into this space mm-hmm. is for more Christians to speak into the space. Mm-hmm. So, I had a couple more questions. I want to be careful with these because I don't want it to be like uber prescriptive, because I know that, again, this is something that people have to lean more into, and we'll talk more about that later. But what do you guys think, having gone through this, having learned all you've learned and taught this class, I guess this is twofold, because I think that it can be really daunting to start thinking about this practically, mm-hmm. which is great that you guys provided a safe place to do that. But I guess the question is, like, what does it look like to think responsibly toward creation in the 21st century, and how mm-hmm. how can people, if not get started, I'm not looking for like a punch list of like, well, you should compost and you should blah blah blah, like, but where should they get started in exploring that more, if nothing else?
I think that is a fantastic question, and one that Christy and I are still working on ourselves, because it is, like she mentioned earlier, it is so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, given the 21st century, it's more important of an issue than it maybe you could argue has ever been before. But I think I would encourage people to just start asking, like, where does this product come from? Where is this product coming? Where is this food I'm eating? How did it get to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I used to teach first grade, and I'd have a whole lesson on, this is a chicken nugget. All the kids knew a chicken nugget, but they didn't know it came from a chicken.
Yeah.
Or what happened to it after they ate it.
Does it really?
Right.
Well, good question,
Christy.
There's some other stuff.
But I think, you know, this is just the adult version of that.
Yeah.
So that burger, that steak you're throwing for the barbecue, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
That hand lotion that has palm oil in it, where are those ingredients coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I think just stepping back and asking yourself those questions are a great place to start. Or asking, what does happen to my recycle? And where does it go? And where is it my trash going? And what am I putting on my lawn when I'm fertilizing it? And
joke's on you. I don't fertilize. No, I'm just kidding. My lawn looks terrible. So
good. Yeah. But I think just raising your awareness of what's happening before things get to me and what's happening to things after I leave them.
Yeah. How can people, so, and again, I'll press in a little more. How can people, it can be really overwhelming. How can people do that without wanting to just put their heads back in the sand? Mm-hmm. Because it can just, it can be too much too soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a lot of things. If you open the door to some theology, if you open the door to some practical things like this. So how can they wade into this in a way that isn't just going to make them want to run away again?
We can definitely relate to that, because we have both definitely felt depressed and mm-hmm. overwhelmed, and that feeling of just, is there a point?
Yeah.
Because it feels like such an uphill battle.
Yeah.
I mean, the scale that these are on are massive. And what, I'm just one little person, what am I really going to be able to do to affect change?
Yeah.
But, and that's a big but, there is virtue in one faithful act.
Yeah.
And knowing that I can make a choice that is in line with how I understand God wants me to live and is in line with his heart and is faithfully imaging him, there is virtue in that. And there is joy in knowing that I am living in integrity.
Absolutely.
And even if that doesn't change the quality of our soil, or that doesn't change the air quality in Malaysia, it's okay, because I am living out my purpose and the way I understand God.
Yeah.
And being a part of his design for creation. And I'm affecting change within my community.
Yeah.
And that's not for me to be in control of, but that is how a movement starts.
Mm-hmm.
Is my kids see me, my friend sees me, and I live out faithfully my understanding of God's desire and influence people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our goal cannot be to fix the problems. We could turn this into like a Christianized humanism type of approach. And when you approach it from that way, it's very easy to despair and very easy to just, stick your head in the sand. And because what good
order
is it
going
to do anyway?
Order some more chicken nuggets. Yeah.
Let's get some more. And so I think approaching it, like Sarah said, one virtuous act, and seeing that is what we are called to do as believers. We are not God. We cannot fix the big monstrous problems at whatever area it is. I mean, creation care is one area of,
a whole broken world.
Yeah, a whole broken world. So being able to take each choice, each issue that comes up in our lives, like Sarah said, a huge way that we can affect change is our buying choices.
Hmm.
We don't, so much of the degradation that happens to the world is done because of what we consume. Mm-hmm. And so looking at, yeah, where is that apple that I'm eating actually coming? What is that farmer doing to the soil? You know, just and maybe zeroing in on one thing at a time, not trying to, like, you know, transform your entire life, you know, over the course of a week or something like that. Yeah. But because it's definitely for us been a small process, a slow process. And it's, we are by no means experts or, you know, these green living machines. Like, I drive a Suburban, so I've got a long
you
way
have
to
like
go.
A million kids too, though. So yeah. Yeah.
We need, no.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So for us even too, just like looking at the small choices that we make and seeing how they add up. I think a big thing in this is our awareness growing. And like, you know, maybe a few years ago, I wouldn't have thought about like the single use plastics, like getting a fork at a restaurant, or I wouldn't have thought even anything about that. But now, even if I do that sometimes, it's like I have this increased awareness,
yeah,
that eventually impacts change in my life because I realize, oh, that has an impact, that adds up. So I think some of this stuff is just as our awareness grows, as our, you know, questions, like, yeah, thinking about the line of recyclables. And I think I'm doing a good deed when I put this plastic in my recycle, but where does this actually go?
Yeah.
You know, so that's where it starts, I think.
Yeah.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, of course.
Just that, you know, the idea that the beach is just one grain of sand.
Yeah.
So if like one act does make it, it's not going to change the whole thing, but it does add to the collective.
Yeah.
So if you just ask yourself, like, what can I do with where I'm at, with what I have right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a great way. And just worry about just this moment.
Yeah.
Not the all the issues, because creation care and the issues facing creation care, they're just one of how many facing society.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's really daunting.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know, this is a case where it can be very easy to let the perfect be the enemy of good,
mm-hmm.
Or the ideal, not the perfect, the ideal be the enemy of the good. And I think there's a lot of signals of what the ideal is coming toward us. So I think that what you guys are saying is right. Like, hey, really, like, sit and consider and think and pray about where you are and what that means for where we're going. Well, hey, if somebody has questions about this, what should they do? I guess they should probably watch the creation care videos, which we'll make available at some point here soon. But if they wanted to know more, what should they do?
Mm. They're welcome to come and talk to us.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I think that one of the big things on our heart was starting this conversation, and just even in the relationship of like me and Sarah talking about this, I've grown so much more talking to her about it than reading a book about it.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing. I think there's some really fabulous books from a Christian perspective. Maybe we could even.
Yeah, we could get a list.
Or
of those.
They're on the resource page.
Oh, they are.
For
okay.
For the class. So
oh, great. Yeah.
You know, there's some really that would be a good place to start too. Reading some of from a Christian perspective. About this issue, but then I think it needs to be this conversation in the church and the body. And
yeah.
So even talking to your generosity group about it, or talking to whoever or us, contacting us, and just because I've learned so much, you know, something like, I feel like Sarah learned so much more about like plastics and consumables, and I got to really hear a lot of that, and my heart was maybe more geared towards like native plants and agriculture, and so we got to learn from each other through these different routes that God had us on about. And so I think just conversations is a big place to start, but there's some great books, some great documentaries.
I would also really encourage people to get into their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is easy to learn, and it's important to learn about the issues facing creation and what can we do and what are our daily choices. That is definitely a huge part. But the why,
Yeah.
Why are we doing this as a Christian? What is our motivation? Because there's a lot of people who are caring for creation, but they're not motivated for the same reasons that Christy and I believe a Christian is to be motivated. So,
yes,
I would recommend listening to the video, watching the videos, or
And some of those books that we have on the resource page do a really good job of doing that, because it's hard to just read your Bible and try to dig it out.
Try to jump there. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really, really, really smart people
who've drawn a bunch of those lines for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, guys, what I'm getting from this conversation is that I should stop eating chicken nuggets.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Step number one.
I actually haven't had a chicken nugget in a little while.
Is it sounding good right now?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I should say in front of you two. I should say no, but my heart is
How
saying
How is that chicken
yes.
being cared for?
Exactly. Well, guys, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to get to talk to y'all. When we offer the course again, I hope to actually get to take it this time. But guys, if you have any questions for Sarah or Christy, feel free to send an email to podcast@imprintchurch.org. That's podcast singular. And I'll be sure it gets over to them. You can also find them on a Sunday morning and ask them questions or for resources and that kind of thing. We hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will see you soon. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.